Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation with Troy Hutchison. Yesterday's program, we talked about Troy's growing up and grew up in a good Christian home. Yet when he went to college at Cincinnati Christian University, unfortunately started to explore alcohol, and then it went into marijuana. And next thing you knew, he was kicked out of school, was on a partial basketball scholarship, got engaged after dating a young lady for about 5 years, and she broke that off because obviously alcohol was a problem. So Troy, you realize you've got an alcohol problem, and then your engagement's broken off. Obviously you're not in school anymore. At that point, I believe you told me you picked up and you moved to Paris, Kentucky.
Yes, it wasn't long after that. I did spend some time up in central Ohio doing some construction, kind of get away from Cincinnati. But shortly after that, I did pick up and moved to Paris. That's where my father had started ministering at Bedford Acres Christian Church. And I just kind of thought I'd needed a new start, a fresh start. And I always, you know, loved Lexington, always been a UK fan. And my dad's kind of from this area, so a lot of my family kind of started to migrate back this way.
All right, well, you got involved in church, and you actually were sober from alcohol for a while, is that correct?
I was, yeah. It wasn't really, it just kind of happened. Wasn't going to meetings or anything like that. I just kept, the move was good for me. Kind of got away from all the partying and my buddies who did that, and that was good for me. I kind of just got into working here and going to church, and that's where I met my future wife, was at church. I abstained for the most part from alcohol. Really, it wasn't affecting my life. I can't say I was completely sober, but I rarely drank any at all during that time frame. And so I met her, and we ended up getting married in June of 2000. And things went pretty well for most of the first year until they started to not go so well.
All right, so you got married and then been married about a year or so, and then you had a blessing, a son arrived.
I did have a blessing. He was born on March 19th, 2001. His name's Trevor. He was born, and that was amazing, and things were good, you know, during that most of that first year after he was born. Do you remember one of the main things that happened during that time frame was I had a really good job, but I'd hurt my back, and had always had some back issues. My father's had several back surgeries, and one of my brothers, Travis, as well. So kind of runs in the family, but I ended up really down on my back and ended up needing to have surgery. And that was my first exploration with pain pills. I don't really remember ever taking them before that. I may have as a younger person. I don't remember. But I remember taking them then and taking two or three or four because a few of them weren't working. And that was when I first realized I could get a real good feeling off of those. And from there, that was a defining moment in my addiction issues.
So you have the back surgery, you're a new dad, so obviously you kind of got the stress of that. I mean, you know, you had a great dad growing up, but yet, you know, when you have to do that all yourself the first time, you're a little stressed over that. The back surgery, you start getting addicted to the pain pills, but then also you start experimenting with other drugs, is that correct?
I did. After I returned back to work after the back surgery, I was full-blown hooked on the pain pills. I mean, I was after my doctor cut me off finally because I kept calling him to get other prescriptions or get them refilled. I was getting them from doctors out of state, getting them online, getting them delivered to my work via FedEx. It became ridiculous and out of control. And as it was at that time that a buddy of mine at work offered me a line of cocaine, and that, if I had to look back, that was probably one that, between that and the pain pills, doing that first line of cocaine was a big moment, and it went downhill quick after that. I was hooked.
All right, well, life did start to spin out of control, and then you finally knew you needed to get some help, and so you went to your first rehab place. Where was that?
Yeah, I went to my first rehab in 2003. It was about 3 years into marriage. I was strung out on cocaine. We were separated off and on because of that. The whole household was full of cocaine. She was using it. I was using it. My brother was using it. Friends coming over. So I finally got to the point where I was miserable. I knew I had a problem. I knew I had to go get some help. So I went to the Watershed. It's a place in southern Florida. I went down there for a 30-day rehab and went through it, did the 30 days and came out. But as soon as I came back home, I relapsed. It didn't last 2 or 3 days after I got home. And apparently I just wasn't ready to stop, even though I knew I had a problem. It was difficult because I was so hooked on it, I guess, man. I was just hooked on that feeling it gave me.
What type of feeling did it give you?
It gave me a feeling that kind of like that stress you were talking about, that unknown, not really knowing how to be a father and how to provide, things that may come easy to some people. I'm not saying it's easy for anybody, but it just didn't seem to come easy to me at that point. And the drugs, of course, played a big part in that. It's hard to live responsibly when you're doing those kind of things and spending that kind of money. But I think it gave me a release from that stress and from not only from the back pain, because that was no longer an excuse I could use, but just from my feelings of inadequacy, I think, insecurities. It kind of gave me this powerful outlook that I could do whatever I wanted. And when I was on that, I felt like I could.
Well, eventually, this drug addiction did take a toll on your marriage. So after 5 years of marriage, you went through a divorce. And obviously, at that time, I'm assuming you had to know you had a problem.
Yeah, yeah. It was sad that the marriage ended and that my son was being passed back and forth. I know that's, you know, normalcy nowadays, but it's still hurtful for the children, hurtful for the parents and the spouses going through it, and it was no less for me or for her. It was rough, and I knew at that point, I really knew that I had to get serious about this issue, and that's when I really made a decision to go away to a program in Indiana. I got in some legal trouble for forging checks. I was taking checks from my father, from my brother, one of my roommates, and forging them and cashing them and feeding my addiction that way. And I got in some legal trouble there. And the courts gave me the opportunity to go to treatment. And so I did. I went to a place called the Wheeler Mission Hebron Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a big one and a very good one. And I spent 2 years there. I went through 1 year of the program, then 1 year of servant leadership training. And I stayed clean, of course, you know, both years. It was difficult needing to come back and forth and see Trevor. And even at one point, he and my ex-wife moved up there and stayed with me there. We were counseling and trying to possibly work towards getting remarried, but that ended up not happening. But it was difficult, man, but it was good for me, and it was my first time of really getting on top of the addiction and allowing God to start to change me and motivation and some positivity in my life.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Troy Hutchison. Troy is sharing his story. Yesterday we talked with him about his growing up. He grew up as a pastor's home and had a great dad and great relationship. And yet when he got up to college, like a lot of people, started partying. And unfortunately, his body really liked alcohol and he became addicted and got expelled from school and was working and got engaged to a gal after dating her 5 years or 3 or 4 years. And after 5 years, she broke off the engagement and got married. And you're sharing all this, Troy, as far as, you know, you did get married, you had a child, yet you got sober at times. And obviously this stint in Indiana was really good for you and almost got your family back together. And yet, you know, you have had some time of sobriety, But unfortunately, addiction reared its ugly head again. What helped in your mind, you know, as you look back, what caused you to relapse again after having this good probably 2 or 3 year stint of sobriety after being in Indiana and actually even working there for a while?
Well, a big part of that was, and it's not the place you go, because you're where you're always, wherever you're at, you're there, and you've got to learn how to live. But it does help. And they always say in AA and NA that people, places, and things are big. And that's true in a lot of ways, regardless of how strong you are. It helps to be around people who are doing the right things. And when I left Indianapolis and moved back here after the 2 years, it wasn't real long before I fell back in with some of my old buddies, some of my old girlfriends, that were doing the wrong things, and didn't take me long to fall head first right back into it. So it was really who I chose to hang around with, even knowing that it wasn't wise. That part of your mind that tells you it's okay and justifies it to Satan, I listened to that rather than to the good voice. So I chose to hang around with the wrong people and go to the wrong places. And eventually, addiction picked right back up where I left it off.
Well, obviously, you know, you shared here, and I've shared in this program several times, The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. It's been a game changer for me that I read about 20 years ago after I went through a divorce, unexpected, and lost my business because of flood. And so as I hear you sharing, you're also sharing to me that, man, negative thoughts that the enemy plants there. And John 10:10, Jesus warned us that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And so it sounds to me like you're saying that too, that you lost the battle in your mind, and that you couldn't live without drugs because you bought into those lies again. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. That's exactly what happened. And that's what any time that there's a relapse, in my opinion, that's one of the big factors that occurs. Is just you give in to that wrong voice and start to believe it. And before long, you're doing the same things again, knowing that the results are going to be harmful to yourself and to others. And so that went on for several years until I decided again I needed to get some help, and then checked into the third treatment center that I've been to in my life, and that was the Lighthouse, which is where I met you. Went through that program, and really it was very helpful in a practical way. Some of the counseling I got there was very helpful into looking at some of my past relationships, some of the things, some of the hurts I'd gone through as a child, and how they affected me, my thinking, and learning ways how I can deal with those and better process them so that I don't need to try to cover up my feelings by using narcotics, so that I can learn how to deal and work through those better.
All right. Well, you've heard Troy's story yesterday and today about the effect of addiction on his life. Tomorrow we're going to hear about the effect that the relationships had on his family, his son, his parents, friends, and just the toll that it took. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. Tell somebody else to join us too. I want to remind you, you can always listen again or at your convenience anytime on our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. I'm Greg Horn. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow with Troy Hutchison on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.